Hi, and welcome to the Future of Dermatology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Farah Kamangar, board-certified dermatologist. We are here to talk about anything and everything dermatology-related. You'll hear from me and my guests, who are dermatologists, physicians, experts, scientists, residents, and medical students in the field of dermatology. We publish weekly, so if you like what you hear, hit that subscribe button and show us some love, and thank you for joining us. I did this fellowship a very, very long time ago, although it doesn't feel like that long ago, but then when you start counting the years, I guess it has been a while. And when, you know, we talk about the trials we were doing was on etanercept, I guess it has been a while. And then Chandler's doing it now. So it's sort of, you know, and Dr. Liao was doing this even way before me. So you're just such an amazing mentor, and you've mentored so many medical students, residents, board certified dermatologists. So I would just love for Chandler to kind of ask you some questions about that whole experience. Chandler, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, perfect. Okay, great. I get to ask the questions now. Perfect. So Dr. Liao, I've already mentioned, yeah, how excited I am to be involved in these clinical trials and these projects that I really never, you know, knew I could be involved in as a medical student. So that just brings me to want to discuss the opportunity that is a research year, especially one that is so clinical trial heavy, like the one here at UCSF. And I just want to get your insights as to the benefit of such years in terms of just sort of professional and academic development for the medical students themselves, as well as just the benefit for the field of dermatology.
Yeah. And I want to start off by saying that I never actually anticipated that mentoring and teaching students would be such a positive experience in my own professional journey. You know, when you kind of go through residency, you think about, okay, I'm going to start my career and, you know, I'm going to do, particularly as for myself as a translational researcher, a lot of your energy is focused on like the lab, right? And kind of getting that launched. And then, sort of working with students over the past decade and a half has really been one of the highlights of the things that I enjoy so much and kind of what I look forward to when I wake up in the morning. And so it's been a complete joy for me to work with talented students such as yourself to really advance the field. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, I think medical school is so busy, and many students don't get much of a chance to explore dermatology in much depth, you know, during their very busy rotation schedule. There are also even schools, medical schools, that don't have a home dermatology program. And we've worked with some of those students as well. And so I think just kind of having the breathing room, right, to take a year off, to work with someone like a Dr. Bhutani or myself, who's been in the field, I think kind of is a great pairing. You know, I think it gives the student a chance to kind of go deeper into sort of what is cutting edge research in dermatology, doing a variety of projects. You know, as you know, from your year this year, Chandler, some of the projects are very clinically oriented, you know, more like clinical trials. Some of them are more epidemiology, like with surveys or databases. And then we have our translational studies with the biopsies. So I think kind of by the time students finish their year, they've kind of experienced a little bit of everything, which I think kind of enriches their knowledge of, you know, what's going on in terms of research. And hopefully they'll be able to take those experiences, you know, and it'll enrich their future careers.
Definitely. I can foresee that for myself too. The amount of skills that I've learned in so little time is honestly mind-boggling to me. I never knew that I'd be learning how to assist with these clinical trials and learn how to work through the IRB aspect of everything. So I feel like in my career, I have an even heightened interest and insight into research. So that's been an awesome experience for me too. And I'm curious, you know, since you've had such a strong history of mentorship and working with so many different students and learners over the year, what makes for a good clinical research coordinator or student scientist?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, the number one thing that I find helpful is a real kind of passion and joy for learning. Some of the work that we do can be, you know, somewhat difficult or, you know, tiring, But I think the thing that kind of gets us through some of these, you know, longer projects is sort of like a real passion or joy for like just like learning new things and learning new knowledge, you know, having fun during the process. And so I think the students who have kind of gotten the most out of the year are those who kind of approach it like, hey, I just want to like be a sponge, right? And like absorb as much as I can during the year, learn, explore new areas, try new things. And I think that kind of attitude really goes a long way.
Yeah, I can definitely sense that in my co-research fellows as well, Katie Heron and Peyton Smith, who have been my absolute rocks. And I feel like they have that same sentiment of like being sponges, but at the same time, we have such a great time together. So we've had a good year and we've learned so much and leaned on each other as we learn new skills. So that's a really fun aspect. Now I'm thinking, you know, I'm over halfway through my year here at UCSF, and it makes me sad to know that I'll be leaving and I'm going to be rejoining the class below me and going back to med school. And medical school is such a different vibe and workflow than being a clinical research coordinator. And I'm thinking back to how I functioned in my third year on rotations in the clinics. And you've worked with so many medical students and residents. So what are some of the things that I should be practicing or gearing up to sort of transition back into as a role as a medical student, particularly on like dermatology electives and away acting internships?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a mind shift, right? Kind of research, you can kind of have your different projects and prioritize and kind of create your own schedule in a sense, day to day. But of course, when you're back on the wards or back in med school, it's very regimented, and you're working in a clinical setting with team members. I think it's always really helpful before you go back into your fourth year to do a little bit of a clinical refresher and work a little bit in the clinic in terms of practicing how in dermatology, practicing how do we use the language of dermatology, you know, how do you describe lesions, you know, how do we develop our differential diagnoses, and how do you, you know, how do you present a case kind of crisply and clearly to your team members. I think that's kind of getting back into that whole clinical mode is really important.
It's so funny that you say that, Dr. Liao, because over the weekend we were doing a little bit of work over in the park by the Painted Ladies. So Peyton and I were outside, and this might be TMI, but I had like a little bit of a rash. I think it might have been a little photosensitivity to something. And Peyton took like a photo. It was on my neck. And I was like, wait, like describe this lesion to me. Like, what is the morphology? So we were like pimping each other. I was like, let's pretend that we're on our derm electives already. So we're trying to practice that.
And you could put it in the skin tracker. Yeah, you could like stick the pictures in the skin tracker app.
Literally, yeah. Yes. So that's funny. We've been trying to practice that too.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, doing as many clinical, I think like SF Derm conferences are a great way to see like really good challenging cases, attending grand rounds, you know, kind of getting back into the clinical mindset.
Absolutely. And the one thing I would say is, even though you're coming to an end to your year, as Dr. Liao, Dr. Bhutani, and Dr. Koo, they can't really ever get rid of us. The fellows keep coming back year after year, especially, well, we'll see everybody in about a month as well at the AED. But it's sort of once you're in the Dr. Liao, Dr. Bhutani, Dr. Koo family, it's kind of for life. So
absolutely, you're stuck. You're stuck with us for life, and it's really fun. I mean, now Fair is, you know, amazing. Had an amazingly successful career, and she's doing amazing, fantastic things. And it wasn't that long ago that she was kind of a student here, and so to see the tremendous success and growth of everyone is really really fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a wonderful family.
Amazing. Well, I have to follow in y'all's footsteps.
You guys are fantastic. And there's something very special about the three of you. So Chandler, Katie, and Peyton, you guys are just the dream team. I think whatever residency program, if they can take all three of you together, that will be, there's a magic there with the way you guys work. I think you just have a very complementary workflow, and you're just all individually amazing as well. So I definitely think there was a little bit of extra magic this year to working with all three of you.
I feel like I hit the jackpot. They definitely can't get rid of me either.
As well. Yeah. And that's the other part. Perfect. Well, thank you both so much. And actually, Dr. Liao, before we end, since it's the Future of Dermatology podcast, we always ask, what do you think or what are you most excited about for the future of dermatology?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm very excited by the concept of team science. You know, in the past, a lot of people would kind of do research in their own labs. But one of the projects that I'm very excited about that I'll be going on for a few more years is one called the Accelerating Medicines Partnership, AMP project with the NIH. It involves multiple universities across the United States. And we're all enrolling psoriasis patients into the study and doing tons of research of things, including microbiome and omics and questionnaires and ultrasound and everything like that. And it's really fun to do research as part of a group. And I think there are similar efforts in Europe as well, sort of along these sort of team science routes. And I think that these types of larger efforts are really going to move the ball forward in terms of helping our psoriasis patients like get better cures and better treatments.
That's amazing. But so much better than just every scientist kind of being siloed in these different settings. The collaboration piece, I think, is amazing. I'm so excited to see everything that comes out of your group and these teams. I'm very excited also, maybe hopefully in a year or two, we can get the results of these surveys and get some answers to these questions. But thank you both so much.
Thank you for listening to the Future of Dermatology podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button and share the podcast with your friends. The more you share and subscribe, the more we'll be able to grow and share our dermatology knowledge. If you have burning dermatology questions, feel free to leave them in the comment below, and we would love to address them in a future episode. And please note that this podcast is not intended to substitute for medical advice from your doctor.